Wouldn't you agree that sometimes in business, it's not about what you deserve, but what you can get? That's why I spoke with Clinton Swain. I asked him to teach us how to negotiate the price that we want. It's not about how great our product is sometimes, it's the way that we negotiate the deal that determines how much we get, right? And the second thing I asked Clinton to teach us is how to close a deal, because we can negotiate a great price, but unless we know to ask for the deal, unless we know to ask for payment and how to do it, we're never going to get paid and we're never going to close the sale. So that's what this interview is about. I interviewed Clinton Swain and asked him to teach us how to put a deal together. My name is Andrew Warner. I am the founder of Mixergy.com, and I do interviews like this because I want you to build a better internet company. Let's listen in to my interview with Clinton. What is Frontier Trainings?
Well, thank you very much. Frontier Trainings is the company that I've built over the last 4 years. And Frontier Trainings is a unique company in that we teach business and investing skills through a whole series of interactive experiential games and simulations. And we're actually now the number one in the world at what we do through these games and simulations. We have over 150 different games that we've created. And these games are designed to immerse you in education. See, historically, when we were young, we grew up in a place where we had interaction and color and dialogue and involvement and participation, and gradually our education system stripped a lot of that out. And we ended up having to learn either through books or through listening to content being delivered in a very boring, methodical way, and as a result, we lost the passion to learn. So what we do is we immerse people in a whole series of different environments in different games. So they love to learn, they can't wait to learn, they leave after a 2-hour break, come back for the next section of material, and the rooms all change, we play different music that we write, so everything's designed to totally immerse them in an environment that makes them so excited to keep learning and growing in all areas of their business and investing.
What's your background? How did you start this company?
This came about, I had a computer company in Australia, and I used to run a games club over there, playing all different types of board and strategy games. And I came over to the U.S. to invest in real estate. And as a result, I traveled around the country, borrowed money from some investors, went off and we were buying warehouses to demolish. We had tractor trailers. We had vacant land. And while I was busy traveling, an investor I was working with embezzled all the money. I kept wiring money. He kept putting it while I was on a road trip. And by the time I got back, I realized everything I wired in, he had taken. So after going through a horrific period of time, going through the court systems, and losing more money, making more mistakes, I got to a point where I started teaching my friends what not to do through games. And if I could teach them how not to make the mistakes, everything just started working so much better. And those games grew into heavy investment and business games, and from there it expanded to what we do now with the whole complete multi-day entertainment, education, immersive environment, which is now being hunted and sought after throughout the world. We recently had a group from South Africa looking, coming over and wanting to film our material and using it as part of TV shows because it's such a unique methodology of presentation and yet so powerful. So after all that background of my leadership skills and business skills and investment skills and background in games, I started creating more and more and more and more games. And as the bigger we grow and the more games we do, the more we're getting looked at is, wow, we want some of that.
And it looks like you've partnered up with some of the big names in self-improvement. I see Brian Tracy on your site, T. Harv Eker.
Yeah, Brian and I are good friends. And we go hiking in the mountains and we share and talk about the industry and the changes. I speak for T. Harv at Guerrilla Business School. Chris Howard at Billionaire Bootcamp. I spoke recently for Mark Victor Hansen, Bill Bardman, D.C. Cordova over in Asia and China. So I'm very fortunate that I get to work with all the major people in the industry, and I get to share with them what we're doing, how it's growing, and most of them are sort of fascinated just by where this company is and the rapid speed at which it's growing and the impact we're having.
You know, before we talk about what my audience needs to know about building a better business, I'd love to find out how you're building your business. How are you getting connected with all these big names? I see so many people in the seminar business who can't make it, who can't break into the big leagues, and you're working with some of the biggest names in the business. How did you do it?
Well, there's a strategy in business where if you want to land the big fish, in effect, you want to make it so that the big fish are coming after you. that they're choosing to work with you. And so what we did is we built our systems, built our structure, built our content, and positioned ourselves in a way where they approached us to do business with us. So we didn't go and hunt any of those people and say, hey, we want to be on your stage, we want to do this. They all came to us and said, oh, we want you. And that gave us the power. And so through a lot of strategic planning and development, I've been able to build my name around working with a lot of the big guys effortlessly and easily, and now I'm an anchor on their platform. So for Guerrilla Business School, I presented 6 times. For Billionaire Bootcamp, I just presented my 8th time on stage. And so as a result, I become a core part of what they do. My brand name's getting out there and growing. Just to give you an idea, we're now over in the UK. We have 1,750 registered for our event coming up in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And we're about to close that off and then start pushing people into the event coming up in February, because this one's going to be sold out. So as word keeps expanding about the incredible impact we're having, people are starting to get on board and just see the power of these games.
Can you give me more details? Because there are a lot of people who have good businesses. There are a lot of people who've got compelling new products but aren't discovered. And I'm sure many of the people who are listening to this have a good business that no one knows about. How did people find out about you? How did T. Harv Eker or Brian Tracy, or if you've got any example of one of these people who you've connected with, one of these rock stars in the business who you've connected with that you can share with us, it might help us understand it a little better.
Well, let me give an example for T. Harv. I mean, I knew already, for me to get close to T. Harv, I was going to have to do something sensational, something which noted attention. And most people would not be willing to do what I do because they're thinking short term. For me, I knew Harv at one point had his offer that if you bought 1,000 of his books, that you would then be able to go and spend 4 days at his house with him. Well, I knew that if I got 1,000 of his books, it, regardless of the money I invested, the $14,000 to buy the books, me in front of Harv for 4 days would allow me to get my goal of being able to be on his stage. Because I knew he would not be able to see me for 4 days and not ask me to be on his stage. I just got too much training and too much dynamic impact that if you got that much close proximity, it would be a given. But if you asked that same situation amongst 2,000 other students, all rushing up at the end of a course when he's exhausted, it wouldn't be the same. So I bought his book. I bought 1,000 books, spent 4 days at his house, and within 1.5 days, he'd already invited me to speak on his stage and started asking to do joint ventures with me and creating other game content for him. So this, now that short $14,000 that I spent up front has now generated close to $250,000. So, you know, in hindsight, it was a very smart decision, but most people aren't willing to spend the money up front to get the results. But I knew that if I spent that money, it was going to be absolutely worth it.
Clinton, that's a story that I love. That's really energizing to hear that, and it's inspiring. Do you have any others like that? Maybe just one more?
Well, let me give an example from someone else. I had, how did the lady over in the UK land me as the promoter? Because I've had a lot of people promote me, ask me all the time, can I promote you? And I turn them all down. And so for her, you know, she came, she asked me, I said no. She asked me again, I said no. She asked me again, I said no. She flew to Scotland to be around me and be on crew and help support me at one of the events. And so flying on crew, she got to spend a lot more time with me. We got to build a relationship. She asked me again. I said no. She put another proposal to me, and we looked at, sat down, said, okay, I'll give you some time. We sat down, reviewed it all, and I said yes. So she now is the promoter for my company in the UK. She is now probably like the third or fourth biggest promoter over in the UK. They've got big names coming to her saying, we want to do joint ventures with you. And it's because she was busy following one of our principles, which is ask 6 times for exactly what you want, that she kept persevering, and she landed me as a client. And now, I mean, her business will keep on growing, paralleling ours worldwide, and she'll end up having probably be the biggest promoting company in the UK within 2 to 3 years.
Wow.
So, you know, it's a strategy, and most people don't go into these things with a strategy. They go in to ask once, and when they get rejected, it's like, oh, okay, it wasn't meant to be. And so we teach our students, and to give an example, that one principle, we had one of our students go off and He made £500,000 in 2 months and is now involved in deals worth, you know, £50 million. And the other guy started off, he took his investment portfolio from £5 million to £55 million in 1 year, just utilizing the tools that we teach and doing it the correct way.
And we're talking about investing in real estate?
For both of those people, they're the ones investing in real estate, and they're doing some large deals and involved in some developments over in the UK, but simply asking for the deals, restructuring the deals when the client says no, going back. I mean, they regularly shave off an extra £100,000 in negotiations by just going back and using the tools we're teaching. So when you understand and really integrate what we're teaching, suddenly massive results start happening in every area of what you're doing.
I'm interested in real estate, but it's a little out of the scope of what my show and my site's about. But I am fascinated by negotiation. Can you give me some ideas that anyone who's listening to this can use to become a better negotiator?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We have a course called Art of Diplomacy, which is a four-day course intensive on negotiation, persuasion, and influence. And in that course, we do a section which is it's about 7 hours straight of solid negotiation, where we'll teach you some techniques, you get to negotiate. We'll teach you more techniques, you do more negotiation. You're sitting at a table opposite people actually negotiating for 7 hours. And during that time, you integrate all the lessons into what you're doing, so it becomes natural. So, for example, I went to a military store where we were looking at buying some outfits for another game. And I said to my friend Randy, who is was behind the counter, and I said to Randy, hey, what's the best price you can do on these? Now, originally, I wasn't even going to negotiate with her. But because I teach her, I feel compelled that I always got to be the best example of what I teach. So I said, Randy, what's the best price you can do on, say, this and this? And she said to me, well, look, Clinton, I can give you, you know, these things here, I get a special price. I'll give you them at half price. These pants here, I don't get as much money. I can give you 10% off those. I can give these badges for free. I can give these belts at $4 instead of $7. I can do this, and I'm just sitting there watching, going, oh my, and by the end of it, I got a net 35% discount by simply asking one question. And, you know, I love this one. When people come up to you and they say, look, you know, is the price negotiable? And the answer here, the answer is always absolutely yes, the price is negotiable. But as soon as I say yes, it takes all their defenses down. Can you see that? See, if I say no, I'm immediately blocking and putting up defenses. But if I say to them, you know what, they walk up and go, oh, look, you know, is your price negotiable? I go, absolutely, the price is absolutely negotiable. The price can always go up.
Mm-hmm.
And they look and they're like stunned. But in their mind, they think negotiation means the price is going down. And when I turn around, they go, oh, no, absolutely the price is negotiable. The price can always go up. I'm always happy to receive more money for what I sell.
I see. So let me see if I understand this. You're not telling me that I should, when I'm trying to negotiate with somebody, ask them, is your price negotiable? What you're saying to me is, Andrew, if somebody asks you, is your price negotiable, my answer should be, yes, the price can always go up. And that's the way I cut
correct.
Them off. Gotcha.
See, most people do not like when they get asked to lower their price. See, if I walk up to you and say, hey, look, is your price negotiable? Immediately you're thinking, I'm wanting to screw you down on price.
Right.
And to take away the whole series of energy and frustration when the person walks up to you and goes, hey, Andrew, look, is the price negotiable? And you go, oh, yes, absolutely it's negotiable. The price can always go up. I'm always willing to accept more money for what I sell. And their mind scrambles because that's not the answer they were expecting. And you know what happens? Mm-hmm. Nearly every time, that's the end of discussion about price.
Gotcha. The first thing I do when I want to negotiate with someone is say, what's the best price you can give me? And that puts also the burden on them to reduce the price and to negotiate with themselves.
If they don't know any negotiating techniques, the pressure is now all on them to make a change to give you a better deal.
A lot of people listening to this are selling advertising online or buying ads online. They're calling up somebody to buy an ad on their website. They're quoted a price. The first thing they should ask is, what's the best price you can give me?
Well, the first words out of their mouth should either be something like, yikes, or wow.
Mm.
Name me any price or something.
I sell my ads on my website for $2,000 per 1,000 viewers.
wow, $2,000 per 1,000 viewers? See, as soon as I say it with that tone of voice, suddenly it sounds like, oh my God, it's expensive. And what most people do, if you simply go, wow, that much, they immediately want to go, but we could do a special deal for you for $1,500 for 1,000 viewers.
Gotcha.
Before you do anything else, you just the fact that you show shock at the price they offer, even if it's a good deal, wow, that much?
Clinton,
they immediately start scrambling and start looking to get a better, you know, drop the price to keep the deal. And all you've done is say wow.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't done any other things that like wow or yikes or like expressed surprise. And immediately you watch, you next time you do it, people will be like, what if we did 1,800 for the 1,000? Well, okay, that's a bit better. And then it's like, well, what's the absolute rock bottom best price you could do for me right now? I go, well, you know, 1,600? Wow, 1,600? Oh boy. 1,550. Well, we're getting close. Minus 1,300. Could we split the difference and make it say 1,450? Well, 1,500? Okay, let's do that.
So I'm not giving my price out until they've lowered their price at least twice, and then I give them a lower price still, and that's where I start negotiating.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole lot of, we teach over 100 different negotiation tactics in the class.
Can you give me just a couple more? I'm going to write these down, and I'll put these up on the website.
Well, the other thing is to be doing it heavily on the terms. You know, what are the terms? Because most people think price in negotiation, but often price is not as important as what terms you can get.
Gotcha.
So if you can negotiate, well, look, you know, I really want to pay that price. You know, $2,000 for 1,000, that's a very fair price. And I really thank you for giving me a good price. How can we stretch that out over a period of 8 months? And you're like, oh, I was thinking up front. I'm like, well, you know, 8 months is probably the best I can do to stretch it over. And you go, well, what if we make it 3 payments? And I go, okay, done. But I mean, I wasn't expecting any terms anyway, but if I start negotiating on everything else, on the terms, on the accountability, on the, you know, there's so many other variables you can include in the negotiation to expand the pie, which is the key principle behind it, is to expand the pie in the negotiation and include as many different things in there as possible.
Car salesmen are really good at this. You sit down with them and they have so many different levers to play with. It's not just the absolute price. It's the interest rate that you'll pay because they'll give you a loan. It's the monthly payments. It's the, if you negotiate that and they're still unhappy with the results, then they'll play with you on the price of, or let's not say play with, they'll negotiate with you the price of the trade-in. And they have all these different levers and you probably have one that's important to you and the others that you haven't thought about. Am I right?
Absolutely. You know, would you prefer, if you had a choice, now, if you had a choice between the sunroof or the high-powered radio, which one would you prefer to take with your car?
Sunroof. I have an iPod.
You know what? Sunroof. You know, sunroof is a great choice. So when you take your car home and you're looking through the sunroof, how's it going to feel?
Okay, that's another thing you're saying to me now. Now you're getting me excited about what I'm attracted to. And that's another part of persuasion, right?
Yeah, I'm getting you into the pre-sale, into the closing techniques, actually closing you on a sale by giving you two options, both of which are a sale, and then getting you excited about the results, you know, assuming you've already bought the car.
Before we move on to that, I just want to understand about negotiation. At your seminars, if somebody goes in, you're not only going to teach them, we went through, what do I have here? I have maybe 5 bullet points that I wrote down as we talked. You're going to teach people those 5 and maybe about 100 others, and they get to play with them, so they get to try them in person at your event, right?
Yeah, and that all comes in our advanced course, which is the Art of Diplomacy. We have the introduction course. Let's still come along and experience what we do, how it works, to see if they want to come and join us in our advanced programs. Because we have some of the most state-of-the-art business tools and techniques in what we do, and as I said, we have 32 courses totaling over 100 days of training on all different areas of business. So we let people come along and do our course called Play to Win, which is 3 days, and it's offered at no charge so people can experience what we do and see whether it suits them or not. And if it does, they can come and join us for all our advanced courses, and that's where they're going to learn all the negotiating techniques.
one of the things that you were just starting to tell me is to ask the person who I'm trying to persuade what he's excited about and then put him in the frame of mind of being excited about that, right?
Yeah, it's called an assumptive close. This is all the closing techniques as doing sales. But, you know, if we're going to give you, you know, would you prefer to have it, you know, delivered to your home or your office? Either option, you've bought it. It's called a double bind. And you can do a whole series of different double binds as trial closes to see whether the person is close to ready to buy or not. The thing is, Andrew, most people are afraid to actually close the sale. They're afraid to ask for the sale. And we teach it in a way in our classroom, which is fun, which is enjoyable. The students love it, and they start going off and using it when they leave the training room. They get phenomenal results. And, you know, then like, often they can't come back to the training room for a little while because they're so busy making money in all the deals.
Let's talk about a few closes, because you're right. People are afraid to ask for the sale, and if we have the right closing strategies, then it becomes a lot easier to ask for it. And one of them is, you called it a double bind. That's where I might say to somebody, would you pay for this with cash or credit cards? And that way,
cash or card, MasterCard or Visa, any of those methodologies. Yep.
I ask them, how will you pay for it? And in that question, I'm assuming that they're going to pay. And once they decide which direction they go in, I can lead into closing them. So if I'm, for example, selling advertising online, like some of the people listening to this are doing, they could say, do you want to pay for this week or next month? Do you want to...
Would you like to pay in full? Or would you like to have the three easy payment option?
Okay, or I would say another double bind is, do you want your ads to start today or next week? Do you want your ads to start as soon as we sign the paperwork, or do you need another week?
Would you like to get the package with the larger ads, or would you like to get the package with the smaller ads?
To someone who's afraid to ask for the close, this is an easy question for them to ask, because they're not saying, do you want to buy right now? They're saying, how would you want to buy? And by doing that, they're leading the person they're talking to towards the close. What other closing strategies are there that people should be aware of?
Here's one of my favorite. It's called the put-aside close. Mm-hmm. And the put-aside close is, you know, okay, if we put money aside, if money wasn't an issue, would you take advantage of this offer right now? Now, if money is the only concern, they're going to say, yep, I'm ready to start. And it's fabulous. You know you're ready to go ahead and start. What we need to do now is simply solve the money situation. How are they going to pay? It's not, do they want to buy it? It's how can you structure the financial terms to make it work for them? Now, if they say, well, you know, it may not fit in my schedule. You know what? Great. If we put the time constraints right now, just aside for a moment. So we put the money and the time constraints aside, everything else being as it is, would you be ready to start? Would you be ready to buy it right now? And they go, well, yeah. I mean, if time wasn't an issue and money wasn't an issue, I'm ready to sign up right now. Great, congratulations. I'm really excited to be working with you. All we need to do now is find a scheduling system that will work for you and pull the money together in terms that will work for you, and we're ready to make this deal happen. You can do that with any objection. And you can stack it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 deep, push them all to the side, go, great. Congratulations. We're going to go ahead and do the sale. Let's just sit down together and collaborate on work on how we can overcome these 6 objections.
Okay.
I love that technique. It's brilliant.
I love that too. I can see myself using it. I get sponsors for my events, and sometimes they come back to me with some hesitation. You're saying what I should respond with is, if money wasn't an issue, would you want to sponsor Mixergy events? Or if they say that it's something else, whatever it is, I just keep saying, if that wasn't an issue, would you want to sponsor Mixergy? And now I've got a list of points that I need to hammer out with them.
Yeah, I think it's like, look, all it really is, then, we just have this small list here of things we need to handle. And once we've handled a way in which these are happy, we're going to be moving ahead together. But then you're working as a team to overcome their objections together rather than feeling like it's you against them wanting to sell them and close them.
Okay, what other closing strategies should we know?
Well, another one, which is very common, is called the puppy dog close.
What is it called?
And the puppy dog close
okay.
Is the equivalent of where you give them the product for a trial period, and they can take it home and they can use it for a period. And if they're not happy, they'll bring it back. But they get attached to it, so they don't want to let it go. And so that would be like in a pet store, they walk up and they see a beautiful puppy and they're not sure, and you go, you know what? How about you take the puppy home for 30 days? Let your kids play with it. You know, let them enjoy having a puppy around the house. And if you're not happy and the puppy doesn't fit with your family, just bring the puppy back and we'll take it back at no charge.
I see people in infomercials do that all the time to me. They say, take these CDs or take this juicer. If you're not happy with it, you could return it. Always in the back of my head, I say I'll return it. I'm just going to see what it's like, and I end up keeping the juicer, the CDs, whatever they've got. So even knowing the puppy dog clothes, it works on me.
Absolutely. It's a very, very powerful, used a lot by people. Anytime you can give something where it's like, hey, you know, you just call us up and we'll take it back. You know, otherwise we'll build your credit card at the end of the 30 days. And people get it, they deliver it, they intend to get it back. In the 30 days, bang, the credit card is billed. And they're like, damn, I should have returned it, but they didn't.
All right, how about just one more closing?
One more. I mean, I just love the assertive close, which is basically, look, let's sign the paperwork and move ahead right now. Basically, you're just giving them the directions of exactly what to do to move towards a sale. But a lot of people want to be sold. They just don't have the person selling them confident enough to go and direct them to fill it out. So, you know, you get into the assertive close and just tell them, look, how about this? Grab the pen, let's sit down together, let's fill out the paperwork, and get ready and plan for the product to get shipped to you. Well, okay.
Okay, and which of your programs can we learn more about this in?
This one, we do some of that in the course called Play to Win, which is a 3-day introduction program. We cover some sales and marketing techniques in that course. So that people would get a good solid grasp of these closing techniques, they get some negotiation techniques, they get a whole series of different material on teamwork, on leadership, on creativity, on, you know, developing win-win strategies, on communication skills. We cover all these different areas in this course. And it's intensive from 9 a.m. till 10:30 p.m., and people don't want to leave at the end of the 3 days. They've learned so much, changed so many of their skills in business, and met so many great people.
All right. I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the phone with me.
My pleasure. Thanks, Andrew.
Bye.